Jake, I'm getting worried. My house hunt's taking longer than expected. We've made so many offers and keep losing out.
You could really use the JAG advantage.
What's the JAG advantage?
The Jim Allen Group, number one real estate team in the state since 1996, with the largest inventory of home sites in the Triangle, 11,000. And they rep more than 65 communities.
The Jim Allen Group? Oh, I get it. The JAG advantage.
Learn how you can score with the Jim Allen Group at thejagadvantage.com. Equal housing opportunity.
So, full disclosure, the person who are who's unfortunately the subject of this is professionally, at least, a friend. Greg Doyle writes for the Indianapolis Star. He is an incredible writer, very creative, and I mean, seriously dives into the subject matter that he writes about. He's a sports columnist. I want you to hear the press conference where Caitlin Clark is introduced. We all know who Caitlin Clark is by now, the former Iowa basketball star, first pick in the WNBA draft, and the Indiana Fever, who drafted her. They've already sold out. The Washington Mystics move. They usually play their home games not at Capital One Arena, the big arena downtown. They play them off-site or at a different place, smaller arena. They're moving the game against Indiana to Capital One Arena because they know what's going on. Anyway, she was introduced yesterday. The draft was Monday. She was introduced yesterday, and here is the exchange between Greg Doyle and Caitlin Clark.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
All right, we don't need to hear the question, all of that. She makes the heart symbol to her family. So he started his question by making the heart symbol to her, which, I mean, that's creepy.
Yeah, right? And just the way he said it, too.
It's incredibly creepy. And I'm not here to defend Greg. Greg doesn't need me to defend him. And it's really not defensible what he did. But we are here in a new era. Shouldn't be a new era, but it is. Where, like, we're used to Serena Williams as an athlete. She's been around. Women's tennis has been a big deal for a long time. So it's not new to us. We're even used to female professional soccer players as athletes. Not as women athletes, but as athletes. But this year introduced America to the greatness of Clark, and like, because we were watching her, we noticed others. And when we got to the Elite Eight, the Final Four, there were stars everywhere. Like, I can't wait to watch Juju Watkins next year.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait.
She's going to be great.
Oh, my gosh. And we're going to have to start talking about these athletes as athletes and not treat them like girls, which is unfortunately what Greg Doyle did. On top of the fact that there's a lot of things that go into what he did. Caroline Darney for the win, friend of this program, my friend who has covered sports for a long time. Big Wahoos, go UVA. If you're interested in college lacrosse, she tweets about it all day long at CW Darney. I know you saw it. I feel for Greg because I know him fairly well and I know what he's about, but man, that is the worst possible look when you're trying to make a good first impression on somebody like Caitlin Clark. What were your thoughts when you saw that?
Yeah, and you know, like you said, it's not, I'm not here to, you know, dump on Greg, and it's just unfortunate because, like you talked about, there's a lot of, there are very few, like probably fewer than 20 people that cover women's basketball full time, that it is their full time job, that they're paid to cover it and get in there. And imagine that if that was the, you know, this isn't to be like, oh, imagine everything should be the same for men's and women's.
Right.
Like, what, but 20, fewer than 20 people. I talked to a good friend of mine before I came on. It's probably 10 to 20 is what we estimated when it comes to full time coverage. And so what you run into is the biggest thing to me is, like you mentioned, they have to be just be covered as athletes. Like,
hey, it's Adam Golden. I'm in studio with my friend, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. Is it ever too soon to seek out you and your expertise?
Really, there's no too soon. It's time to get serious. So if you're 50 or over, we call it the financial red zone. And that's when really it's time for you to take control of your money and make sure you have a firm on your side that's a fiduciary planning firm, which means they take your side at all times. Now, we'll do this for the next 10 of you who call. This is $1,000 value, but I'm going to waive my planning fee to make sure you get your total retirement plan and you get on the right path for retirement.
Call 888-843-0013, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Even last year, when you look at the game, the LSU-Iowa championship game, the trash talk or whatever you want to call it between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and the pointing at the ring finger and you can't see me, people acted like it was the worst thing that had ever happened on a basketball court. Like the audacity to trash talk and you know, even the way you're talking now about, you know, Diana Taurasi is the queen of trash talk.
Yep.
She's always, she's not, she doesn't have a personal vendetta against Caitlin Clark. Like, she wants rookies to come in and they're rookies. This is a league full of talented, talented women that have played and not had any attention for years. Yep. And now there's a lot of attention and it's just a matter of, can you cover these women as athletes? Because imagine if you, if you gave LeBron James the same kind of, like, he has to be nice to every rookie that comes into the NBA. Like, what are we doing? Like, it's just, that's the thing. Like, when we talk about coverage, it's not just don't be creepy or don't say things that are, like, trying to be too familiar or trying to be cutesy or, like, whatever it is. Just ask them questions. Like, anyone else. They're just athletes.
I mean, treat them with respect as athletes. And because I think that's where Greg went wrong, is that he was trying to make somehow deeper connection than you could possibly make with anybody, forget a male or female, in an introductory press conference. There's nothing you can say, like, if it, remove Caitlin Clark from it, make it Victor Wembanyama, right? Yeah. First pick in the draft last year. Nobody in San Antonio is going to, like, come with some, like, cute little family thing that he does and suddenly become buddy-buddy. And I think that's where Greg was, he completely misfired on that. But I do think, because it's in some ways new to us, that we're now discovering that these are not just, these are not women, these are not girls. These are athletes, and they have to be covered as so, as such. And until, and we're going to see a lot of people. Now we're getting to the debate of, well, how come they don't make as much? Like, are we really doing this? Are we really having this discussion now? But yeah, we're, I'm going to play a piece a little bit later on, that just shows you how there are people who are waiting for this to fail. Right. We know all about that. But to me, that's all it is. We're so far ahead in other sports. We're ahead in tennis. We're ahead, in soccer. We're ahead in, to a certain extent, in golf, where we don't like, that's the thing. The WNBA is new in comparison to everything else.
Well, and women's basketball still struggles with the perception, right? You have, when you have folks like Doug Gottlieb saying he can't get into it because it's all layups and stuff like that, or whatever the tweets are around, when realistically I'm watching Kate Martin hit fadeaway twos with precision repeatedly that, like, you know, multiple teams on the men's side wish they could have had that regularity of, like, connecting from that shot, that spot. There's so much to unpack with it, because there's so much, it's so much deeper than just one season. And over the past couple years, across women's sports in general, you know, if you've ever tweeted anything positive about women's sports, mm-hmm. you've probably seen the replies with the like, nobody watches it, nobody cares, nobody, whatever. And now that there's been moments where you've seen the huge volleyball game at Nebraska, you saw Iowa women play outside at Kinnick and get a huge crowd, record setting crowds. And sure, those things are kind of, I won't say gimmicky because like they were really, really cool, but it's, if you can have a volleyball match played in a football stadium, no duh, there's going to be way more people mm-hmm. like than if it's inside just by logistics. It's like when, you know, Syracuse sets all the attendance records, right. You're like, well, of course you did, because you can fit more people. But the idea that like, it's almost an if you build it, they will come. And so ESPN has held the reins for access to women's basketball, especially the NCAA tournament, I guess, right. for years. And we're finally getting a chance. And it goes hand in hand with a few things on the play side, where I'm not here to say like, oh, UConn being so good for so long was bad for the sport, but it's undeniable that the parity has improved. And that's also because the resources and energy that's been dedicated to girls' youth sports and training the young women like they do the young men that are playing basketball. So strength training, conditioning, yep. that they get more of the same resources and attention, that leads to more really good women's players that are going into college. And then they decide to stay at home and play for Iowa. And then Iowa has a moment, or they go to play for other teams. And you have more and more of these exciting moments in women's college basketball that pick up steam, pick up attention. And now you have, it's all coming to a head, which is great. So it's a matter of like, how do you take advantage without one disrespecting the players that have come before in the WNBA, right. didn't get this type of attention, that do deserve respect. Like, you know, Asia Wilson is like one of the most fun players, yep. and you've got Sue Bird and Diana, like all of these legends and people that you need to like give them their flowers and their attention, but also realize that it is at a moment of peak popularity. And like you said, people might have watched for Caitlin, but they found Juju. They found Hannah Hidalgo mm-hmm. at Notre Dame. Like, you know, as someone who's watched UVA a ton, obviously, Kamora Johnson, super fun freshman point guard to watch. So there are names and faces and players that can continue this momentum. It's just exciting to see. It's just a matter of like taking advantage, but like realizing, yeah, come on in. It's fun.
Right.
Like these ladies are fantastic, and not just because they're women. They're fantastic athletes.
And honestly, not liking the game because they're just layups as opposed to dunks. Like it, I can't process that as making sense to me, as though you only watched for the, did you not watch basketball in the 70s when they didn't allow the dunk? The dunk was too easy. We took the dunk out. These people still watch. What does it say? Caroline Darney is joining us for the win, USA Today, among other things that she does. What does it say that the peak audience for the WNBA draft was mm-hmm. over 3 million people? Nobody has watched. I don't think the WNBA has ever gotten an audience for a game over 1 million.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And the draft drew at a peak, I would assume early, since she was the first player taken, just over 3 million. Does that portend anything for the future? I mean, I'd like to think so.
Yeah, I would say, and the crazy thing is, to me, it wasn't a surprise where she was going to go.
No.
Like, this wasn't like a, you know, Caitlin Clark had a big push at the end of the season and she might be a lottery pick now. Like, everybody knew, even the team that had the first pick, the Indiana Fever, have been tweeting 22 related things. They've been tweeting about Caitlin Clark. Like, this was a foregone conclusion. Like, Caitlin Clark was going to the Indiana Fever with the number one overall pick, and
right.
we still got that many people watching. And I want to give a shout out to, like, there was a whole, the ESPN crew that was it L. Duncan and
Andrea Carter.
She
made Agumake. They're amazing.
They were great. And I think that really helps. And then being able to have them do coverage for the draft. And honestly, the women showed out too. They no longer have the restrictions. I don't know if there were real restrictions or guidelines or whatever it was around like stuff they could wear. But I saw some older, some people who've been in the league for a little bit longer saying like, man, we looked like accountants out there getting drafted in our like business attire. And so it became a moment. Like it was exciting. Like you said, there was the Angel Reese, there's Camila Cardoso, Mule from UConn, who had such a great moment where she did so well against Caitlin Clark. So the anticipation was high. And again, this is where, unless you've seen it in person or seen kind of the pictures and the frenzy that has been created with women's basketball, and like, especially with young girls who want to go watch, like that's that's where these things continue to grow. And so I think that, you know, like you mentioned, the Wizards have moved their game against the Fever. We've seen a couple other places that have already said like, we're going to play here, or it's already sold out, or et cetera, et cetera. The prices are higher. That's all good stuff that's trending in the right way, because I'm of the belief, and you mentioned I'm a lacrosse fan, that if you get people in the door and you get them on board and you provide them a good product, and that's with so few, you know, it's a professional league. There are incredible women that play in this league that are so good. And I think that it's going to just, if once you get people in the door, I think they'll stay. Because I always look at, you know, women's lacrosse struggles with a lot of the same perspective stuff, because you can't hit hard. You're not checking. It's not like the men's game. But when you get like high level women's lacrosse, it is the most technically sound, like precision play that people should love. Like it's the, you know, you're watching good passing, good shooting, good cuts, good schemes. Like it's just that stuff that if you're actually a true sports fan, like, you know, that's the stuff you should be excited about. And that's where I think that they'll succeed.
All right. Let me, we'll close on this. Caroline Darnay, I appreciate your time for the win on USA Today at CW Darnay on Twitter. The, it all comes down to economics, right? What, you know, the networks will put stuff on in prime time because they know, hey, people are interested in watching. Or they'll put it, maybe not prime time at night, but prime time for viewers. Sometimes on the weekend, that's during the afternoon. Like we see the NCAA softball College World Series, right?
Yeah.
It's all over the place in May, June, almost into July. So we'll see all of that. And a couple of years ago, the Women's European Football Championships recognized, like, oh my gosh, people like this.
Yeah.
They love this, the product. And they were caught off guard because they had basically set it up where they were going to play in smaller venues because they didn't think there would be demand for tickets. And all of a sudden, they were selling out places like, I don't think they were at, they might have been at Wembley, but they were at English Premier League home sites, and they were selling them out. And from that, all of a sudden, now you see the explosion in the women's game overseas. And I think we're finding out, maybe it's going to take people a longer time, but that these sports are economically viable.
Yeah. And I think part two, and I'm not 100% familiar with the type of media deal that the WNBA secured. I know that they have a lot of different places that games are streamed and aired, which I think definitely works against them. Because if you have to try and track down Ion or, you know, some sort of stream, it's like what, you know, when everyone searches what is True TV when the tournament comes around, right? But that's every week. There's such a, when people want to say, and I agree, the economics piece is important, because you can't just say like pay them the same and like et cetera, et cetera. But when you look at the deals in the men, the NBA has, you know, years and years of support and sustained financial success and interest. And but the media deals, I mean, how much have we talked about media deals in ACC country?
Right. Man, let's not.
More than I ever wanted to. That's the stuff where when it's proven, if they can redo or retool a deal that gets more consistent coverage on easy to access streaming and television, that's when you're going to see the success of. And then you also have to have moments where you shouldn't be so ill-prepared that it's going to take the entire season for you to fulfill the order for a Caitlin Clark jersey.
are we dealing with that right now?
Yes. They were saying it's going to be months that the people won't get them until like August or something.
Are you joking? Like, that's crazy.
And I will double check. Twitter's not always, you know, X is not always 100%. So I'm not trying to come out here and be like, oh, but you know, I'm seeing things where people are like, oh, I ordered in the second round of ordering through, or the second restock isn't going to be done for months. And it's close to the end of the season and stuff like that. So it's just kind of like, it's great that the stuff's selling out, but if you can't, if you're not prepared.
My gosh. Well, I can't get a Wrexham shirt either. So
I know.
I'm kind of bummed about that. Caroline.
I had to get the second restock of the New Heights hat after our girl Taylor Swift was wearing it.
Unbelievable. Caroline Darney, my friend at CW Darney from For the Win. Appreciate your time. By the way, we call it Twitter. I don't care.
I know.
I'll talk to you soon.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.